You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome in. It's the crisis edition of the BS and Beer Podcast. No, it's not deja vu. This is the second show in the same day. The Friday injury report came out, and I was blown away. Blown away. So we had to bring you a special.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
We have breaking news. The injury report was horrible. I have my friends from the Don't Patrol United podcast, Jason and Scott, coming in. Going to talk a little bit about this injury report that just came out, and it's stunning. Listen, we did a show this afternoon, and I saw the injury report. Friday's had not come out yet. And when it comes out, all of a sudden, you know, I kind of figured Davenport was probably going to be out. I thought that we'd at least see Michael Thomas be limited or you know, probable or something like that. But he's out. Scott, give us a rundown on the injury report.
Honestly, Dave, I don't know if I have enough time to read all these names. tight end Jared Cook, out with a groin. Defensive end Marcus Davenport, out with an elbow and a toe. Janoris Jenkins, out with the shoulder. Marshawn Lattimore, out with a hamstring. Andrus Peat, out with an ankle. Michael Thomas, out with an ankle. Chase Hansen is questionable with a hip. And Oyemata, he fully practiced today, has a calf injury. They don't have a game status listed for him, so maybe that means he's playing.
Here's the thing, Jason. We are in a situation where, okay, Peat goes down. We already have our feelings about it. You know that I'm a huge fan. No, I'm kidding. We need to talk about that, by the way. Anyway, but moving forward, I think we have the offensive line depth to kind of absorb that injury. We have a first-round rookie in Ruiz who's capable of doing the job. But now all of a sudden you look at two defensive backs when we weren't covering very well on the back end to begin with. Tell me what this means. Tell me what, how it affects the game.
That's the scary part, because especially with the lack of pass rush the first few weeks. If you'd have told me that, hey, Davenport was actually limited and it looks like he was going to play a little bit, I'd feel a little better, because if we actually had a pass rush, at least you could offset some of the problems in the secondary. Now with no pass rush and your top two corners out, it's really asking a lot from PJ Williams and P. Rob. It's really asking a lot for those two guys. Sure, you have the three safeties that we think can help, but the way they played the first 3 weeks, they haven't shown me any reason to have optimism about this game, at least in terms of Detroit's passing offense.
Well, and Detroit also has two outstanding receivers, so it's not going to make it any easier to go up against. Listen, we talked a lot. Well, at least I did, talked a lot about the end of the season last year, where we were like, well, you know, Detroit, you know, and they hadn't played well. They haven't won this many games. But Matthew Stafford's been out injured. You know, when he's in the game and he has two healthy receivers that are dynamic playmakers, it's not going to be so much on the safeties as you're going to have to hold up on the corners. Scott?
You know, yeah. I mean, Stafford might end up looking like Mahomes in the game this weekend. I think a key is really going to be, too, on our offense with ball control, trying to keep our defense off the field. Maybe this will knock some sense into Peyton, and maybe he'll start running the ball more to try to keep the defense off the field. I mean, I can't think, I mean, of any other way to do it. And Cam Jordan, you know, when defense is on the field, man, he's got to step up his game. The defensive line has got to step up, just kind of like what Jason was saying. They have got to get a pass rush and got to get on top of Stafford. He's not mobile. You know, he's not known as a mobile quarterback. They've got to get the pass rush in there and help out these corners.
Now, with Onyemata back, I think we really realized this last game how disruptive he is, because he was gone and you simply didn't see any disruptive activity in the middle. We talk about our depth, and I do believe that we have some talented players in the middle of that defensive line. But when you take out the straw that stirs the drink, and I believe that is now Onyemata, it seems that those guys are solid but unspectacular. If where does the pass rush come from? I mean, T-Rex has been playing well. Hendrickson. And Granderson has been playing well. They do okay, but God, without Jordan coming up with some, I don't know, man. All of a sudden, I was optimistic about this game, and it feels like a crisis now, because dropping this game to Detroit will be a serious issue in terms of, I do believe that the Saints will recover. I believe they're talented enough, and eventually they'll figure it out. Now, eventually might mean 2 games down the road, 3 games down the road. If they lose this game and drop to 1-3, that's going to be extremely difficult to overcome.
Yeah, it's really a bad spot to put themselves in, especially with the team that, at least on paper, you're more talented than you should beat. I do like that Onyemata's playing this week. I do feel a little better, but I'm kind of wondering whether they mix in a few more blitzes just to try to get Stafford a little unsure about things. Maybe where's the rush, if any, coming from, and not just sitting back and doing a base four-man rush and hope that it works out, because it hasn't.
So, yeah, I definitely think our linebackers need to get involved, kind of like what Jason's saying, blitzing DeMario Davis, blitzing Anzalone, you know, just getting pressure on Stafford. I mean, it's got to come from somewhere. And like I said, I mean, our cornerbacks, you know, I mean, they're basically a liability right now. And if Crawley gets in there too, oof. I mean, we thought our penalties were high on pass interference before. I can only imagine what they're going to be after this game.
I would have to imagine that in general that the Saints will have to play a different style of defense. I would imagine they're going to be significantly less aggressive. We're going to see less man, and it's going to be hard to blitz. Unless they go into a defense that's kind of a hybrid and puts himself in a position where it's just going to be easy pickings over the middle, because I don't know if they're going to leave P-Rob and P.J. Williams on an island one-on-one with those receivers. It's going to be hard to get pressure on them on blitzes. I mean, unless they get really creative, and that could be where the Saints pull something out, maybe some zone blitzes, maybe things to try to disrupt Stafford. The problem with those things, they can work for a minute, but eventually they figure it out. And when they do, then the wheels start coming off. And I mean, this is a bit of a crisis. Your two starting cornerbacks, which actually are considered, at least we did, maybe one of the better starting combinations in the league, both out.
Especially when the offense now is, and without Thomas again this week, we're not really built to get in a shootout.
Right. Absolutely.
That's, yeah, and kind of to Scott's point, ball control is going to be the key to win this game now. There's no way around it, because if Detroit scores 35 points and just lights up the secondary, at this point, we're just not built to keep up with that.
Yeah. I'm hoping, I think special teams might come into play kind of big with returning punts and returning kickoffs, and then even more stead putting the teams, you know, putting Detroit deep in their own field position to try to some kind of way curb their offense.
It does feel like we're going to need a big special teams or defensive score.
Yeah, there's going to have to be some contributions in other places, man. You hope maybe for some type of defensive touchdown or special teams, because – just the combination. And I think that's why I'm feeling this somewhat of a crisis, because the Saints offense isn't clicking yet. And our best offensive player is not playing. You're like, well, if the defense starts tightening it up, we can still, you know, manage a win. We can manage the game and win. Now, all of a sudden, your two starting cornerbacks, your best, you know, arguably your best pass rusher. I shouldn't say that, because I'll get a lot of flack over that, but a very good pass rusher. How about that? Is not available. Now all of a sudden you don't look like you're going to be able to score the points that you're accustomed to, and your defense, you don't know how they're going to hold up. And I just don't know how the Saints win this game without getting help in other areas like special teams or a defensive score.
Yeah, it looks pretty daunting. Even though there is like a 5 or 10% chance that I'm thinking, look, this is a crisis. All signs would point to Detroit coming away with a win, but this could be one of those games where somehow, some way, the Saints end up winning by 10. I don't know how it happens. It's just one of those weird things. It's football. some magical things happen. Maybe Stafford fumbles a few times, you know, throws a pick six. Maybe we got a kick return, something like that. There's a small chance, and I'm just hoping maybe, you know, everybody's probably going to bet on Detroit now because the Saints are favored by – at least they were favored by 4 points. You got to think a lot of the action is now going to be on Detroit with all these players out. And, you know, it's football. It's weird things happen. Maybe we get lucky.
Yeah, I mean, if there's ever a time to, you know, dig deep into the playbook, offense and defensively, this is the week to do it. I mean, you need to throw everything at them, but the kitchen and the kitchen sink. You know, they're going to be holding this defense together with duct tape. So, if you're going to throw something at them, now's the time to do it.
Well, there ain't
no use saving it.
There were some people speculating that, like, the Saints, as the season would go on, early in the offseason, they were talking about more Taysom Hill involved at quarterback and running a more hybrid offense that might have a little bit more of read option and stuff. If they were holding some of that back, thinking that we didn't have the offseason, maybe coming out and mixing something else in would be the right time to do it. But let me also throw this, after we've now come and it's been crisis, you know, game four crisis. Let's say a couple of things that have happened in the past, and you guys could probably attest to it happening to the Saints, where we look at the injury report and they're like, man, they're off, their left tackle's injured, their right tackle's a rookie, their guards, their third guard, and they still find a way to make things happen. There is something to be said that it's still an NFL team, they're still professionals, and that if they go in with the right game plan, they can find a way to, because while I defended Detroit, they still are not a great team. I mean, across the board, you know, they have two good receivers. They have a good tight end. They have a good quarterback. Their offensive line's not great. Their defensive line is not great. So it's just that at this point, we saw what I would consider a soft point in the schedule for the Saints to get right. You know what I mean? Like, there are three games where the Saints could probably get back and, you know, get to 4-2 and start getting right, start playing Saints football. And now it looks like we're going to have to struggle to get a win against a team that should have been a game where good chance that we come out with a win. So it's going to – yeah. The positive is I think it's still a professional team. We're not playing a great team. We got to find a way to win.
One good thing in our favor is that we have the coaching advantage, because Matt Patricia stinks. He is not a good head coach. So we do have the head coaching advantage, which – That like you said, that Peyton's going to have to come up with a great game plan to win this game and show that, yes, I'm a better coach than the guy on the other sideline, because he is.
Any, yeah, we always go ahead.
Talk about Peyton. Peyton loves a crisis, and, you know, loves a crisis, never lets one go to waste. I mean, this is the ultimate one. So, you know, backs against the wall, us against the world kind of mentality, and hopefully put something good together and we can pull it out.
Any final thoughts, fellas?
Light your candles, pray, do whatever you got to do Sunday morning.
Scott?
Yeah. It's funny. It almost seems like it's either going to be like a total garbage dumpster fire, or it's going to be something miraculous. It's going to be nothing in between. Like, either we're going to pull this out of our ass and just be miraculous, or it's going to be just a total dumpster fire.
I'm hoping that they're going to let it all hang out. And sometimes we go into these games with low expectations and all of a sudden everybody's playing loose. So let's hope for the best. And I don't know. Other than that, hey, you've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. Thanks to my guests from the Dome Patrol, United, my partners, Scott and Jason. And, you know, we got to hope for the best, and we'll talk to you, I guess, maybe Sunday night. We'll do an instant reaction show, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for joining me, fellas.